Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. Well, this is our St. Patrick's Day show, so we have to talk a little bit about St. Patrick and some limericks and some ideas and some celebration, of course, that goes with it. But let's start with the history of St. Patrick. A lot of people don't know where St. Patrick came from. St. Patrick was born to Catholic parents about 385 in Britain. His father was a nobleman and a deacon. But Patrick's privileged life came to an end at age 16 when he was captured by slave raiders from Ireland. With a large group of prisoners, he was transported to the then pagan island. Sold as a slave to a king in the northeast, Patrick had the lonely task of tending the pigs and sheep. In the midst of these harsh living conditions, Patrick's faith flourished as he turned to God in prayer. After being held captive for 6 years, he heard a voice in his sleep say, "Soon you will go back to your homeland." A short time later, he heard the same voice say, "Your ship is ready." Trusting in God, Patrick set out on a 200-mile journey through unknown territory. When he arrived at the ship, the captain at first refused to take him. But Patrick prayed to God for help, and the captain changed his mind. Then began a lifetime of dedicating his life to becoming a priest. He envisioned returning to Ireland to teach the Irish about Christianity. During his 30 years in Ireland, Patrick founded more than 300 churches and baptized more than 120,000 people. Yet he still encountered much opposition. "Daily I expect either murder, robbery, or enslavement," he wrote in his confessions. He escaped from 12 attempts on his life. Patrick died a natural death on March 17, 461. By the end of the 7th century, many legends had developed about him. One, of course, says he charmed all the snakes in Ireland and led them to the sea to drown. Another, probably the most popular, is that he used the three-leafed shamrock to explain the concept of the Holy Trinity to unbelievers. This is probably why shamrocks, now Ireland's national flower, are worn by the Irish on St. Patrick's Day. On St. Patrick's breastplate is engraved, "Christ be with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me." It's a little bit about the story of St. Patrick. And of course, with that goes some poetry. And this is from Kevin McCarthy, an Irishman from South Holland, who wrote this little Irish poem in honor of St. Patrick's Day. And Kevin wrote, "I've never kissed the Blarney Stone, but Blarney's in my blood, although my sainted mum tried hard to nip it in the bud. I'll sing you honest stories of how life has made me wise, and then my wife can tell you that they're all a pack of lies. To tell the truth, the Guinness is too bitter on my tongue, but who'd drink with an Irishman who's sipping Coke and rum? Don't tell the lads at Shannon's I'd be shunned for blasphemy. I hate corned beef and cabbage, but I'm as Irish as can be. So raise a pint of bitters to the orange and the green, or fill that cup of coffee with some Bailey's Irish cream. The rocky road to Dublin's many thousand miles away, but here in old Chicago, we're all Irish for a day. I'm known for speaking Gaelic when I've put a few away. I never had a lesson, Who knows Gaelic anyway? I've never seen Killarney, but I've been to River Dance. I'm off to see the Rovers every time I get the chance. It's so good to be Irish in the city by the lake. It's good to wear a shamrock and to drink a shamrock shake. My friends will all forgive me if my story's all a lie. They'll throw me a wild party the day after I die. So raise a pint of bitters to the orange and the green, or fill that cup of coffee with some Bailey's Irish cream. The rocky road to Dublin's many thousand miles away, but here in old Chicago, all of us are Irish for a day. Little poem by Kevin McCarthy from Orland Park. Very appropriate. But I guess the question is corned beef really Irish? Of course, we're going to enjoy corned beef. I just stopped over at Harrington's here on Milwaukee Avenue on the north side by the studio and picked up some corned beef, which I absolutely love. I just love corned beef. And after St. Patrick's Day, I said, oh, I didn't eat all that corned beef. But it's good nonetheless. But the question, is corned beef really Irish? Well, absolutely not, says Bridget Looney, who moved to the States in 1960 from County Mayo, Ireland, and today owns the Abbey Pub with her husband, Tom. I never heard of it until we moved here. It just wasn't part of our menu. We had Irish pork bacon with cabbage and potatoes. Early Irish immigrants began eating corned beef in New York City, she says, because it was the closest thing they could find to the beloved bacon. She does eat corned beef today, however, and she serves it in a restaurant, of course. People think it's traditional, but I know better, she says. But I'm practical. They call and ask if we're serving corned beef for St. Patrick's Day. I say yes. They ask if we're serving green beer. I say no. There are limits. Then again, the Oxford Companion to Food claims corned beef has a long history as part of the Irish diet, and was a major export from the port of Cork during the Napoleonic Wars. Either way, today about a third of Vienna's beef's total corned beef production, which totals 2.5 million to 3 million pounds a year, is produced, packed, and shipped out of its Northside plant for the St. Patrick's Day season. A third of that yearly production is sold cooked. The rest is sold pickled or raw to be cooked by the retail or consumer. So the argument goes on. We don't know if it is or it isn't, but it certainly tastes good nonetheless. You have to change the water. You cook it, you boil it, and then you take it out, change the water, because it does get a little salty. Bake it again, and then you have it in the water, and then you take it out, and just before you serve it, you want to put it in the oven just to kind of get a little crisp on the outside. Delicious. Just delicious. What does being Irish mean? Well, being Irish means you'll never play professional basketball. Being Irish means you swear very well. At least one of your cousins holds political office. You think you sing well. You have no idea how to make a long story short. You are very good at playing a lot of very bad golf. There isn't a huge difference between losing your temper and killing someone. Much of your food was boiled. You have never hit your head on the ceiling. You spent a good portion of your childhood kneeling. You're strangely poetic after a few beers. Actually, you're poetic a lot. Being Irish means you'll be punched for no good reason, a lot. Some punches directed at you are legacies from past generations. Your sister will punch you because your brother punched her. Being Irish means many of your sisters are Catherine, Elizabeth, or Mary, and one is Mary, Catherine, Elizabeth. Someone in your family is incredibly cheap. It's more than likely you. You don't know the words, but that doesn't stop you from singing. You can't wait for the other guy to stop talking so you can start talking. Irish stew is the euphemism for boiled leftovers from the fridge. You're not nearly as funny as you think you are, but what you lack in talent, you make up for in frequency. Being Irish means there wasn't a huge difference between your last wake and your last kegger party. You are or know someone named Murph. If you don't know Murph, then you know Mac. If you don't know Murph or Mac, then you know Sully or maybe Scully, like the married one. You'll probably also know Sully McMurphy. You are genetically incapable of keeping a secret. Your parents were on the first-name basis with everyone at the local emergency room. Thank you, Sean Moore. And last but not least, being Irish means your attention span is so short that I'll forget it. So that's what being Irish means. Well, it's only appropriate that we play a little Irish music, and no better performer or singer than Catherine O'Connell from St. Thomas More Parish, of course, as Rich Daniels was last week when we chatted with him. Catherine does such a terrific job, and she has a CD out entitled Songs from My Father. Of course, one of my favorites. I remember my grandma and grandpa singing this song to me and our family, the classic Danny Boy. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are calling. From glen to glen on down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the leaves are falling. Tis you must go and I must bide. But come ye back when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow. For I'll be here in sunshine or in shadow. Oh, Danny boy, oh, Danny boy, I love you so. And if you come when all the flowers are dying and I am dead, as dead I well may be, I know you'll find the place where I am lying and kneel and say an Ave there for me. And I will hear the soft you tread above me, and all my grave will warmer, sweeter be. If you would bend and tell me that you love me, then I would sleep in peace until you come to me.
Soldier Field hosts its 10th annual Spring Egg Extravaganza. Festivities include a ticketed breakfast and an admission-free festival and candy grab. More than 4,000 adults and children are expected at the 10th annual Spring Extravaganza, the largest free candy grab in Chicago, featuring 2,000 pounds of goodies in the field at Soldier Field Stadium, 1410 South Museum Campus Drive, on Saturday, March 23rd. A ticketed breakfast will be held at the United Club from 8:30 to 10. An admission-free festival begins at 9, and the candy grab on the field follows at 11. Children ages 10 years and younger are welcome to participate in this event presented by Dominic's. The fun will be broadcast on the stadium's two supersized 23-foot by 82-foot video screens for parents to cheer from the sidelines. This popular event is a wonderful opportunity for Chicagoans to celebrate spring and to experience the historic stadium, said General Superintendent and CEO Michael Kelly of the Chicago Park District. And on the line with us right now is the businessman, civic leader, one of the brightest stars and most welcoming people in public service with the Chicago Park District, and the Director of Public Relations for the Chicago Park District and Soldier Field, now presenting the 10th annual Egg Extravaganza on Saturday, March 23rd, starting at 9 a.m. at Soldier Field. Our good pal, Mr. Luca Saraluca, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Kevin, how are you?
Always a pleasure. It has become a tradition that we talk about this, and here we are, 10th annual, and fortunately the snow has melted, and we'll be able to go along with this now.
Well, I'm hoping so. You said, we're going to be welcoming in spring, and we really hope. We've got another week before that happens, but We're hoping the weather cooperates so we actually are welcoming in spring and not another week of this stuff, that's for sure.
Well, you know, it's always a great time, Luca, and the kids and the adults have such a terrific time. And the opportunity to have breakfast in the stadium club. Are there still some tickets available?
Unfortunately, there is not.
It sells out every year, right?
Bad news. But, you know, this breakfast has become so popular over the years that people just wait till we go on sale. Because it really is one of those events that we try to keep all costs down. It is a free event, mind you, for everyone coming to the festival and the candy grab. But, of course, the breakfast portion of things is a paid part of the event. But it is so affordable, and I think that's what the appeal is for people, that, you know, they're able to get into, come to the stadium, enjoy some premium space of the stadium, and have breakfast here before, you know, taking off on the field.
Well, just as it has become a tradition for our talking, people bring their kids year in and year out and look forward to that. I think that's probably one of the successes that it experiences because it's always sold out.
Well, boy, we all know in Chicago that we're chomping at the bit for spring to come around. And so I think this is just one of those events that easy to come to, bring your family down. Pass a couple of hours, get out of that cabin fever, get out of the house, and have a good time for a bit.
You know, it's right. You know, we all seem to have that because the weather has been such lately. Of course, not around the Christmas holidays when we should have had snow, but lately it's been like that. And people want to come out, and this is a good opportunity. But Easter being so early this year, you know, you take the chance. You might get snow. It might be rainy. It might be soggy. It might be cold. But there you have it.
Yeah, we do it rain or shine. So, and lucky for us, I think it is one of those events where people just want to come either way. And so you throw an extra layer on, not a big deal. We're all used to that. And the fact that so much is going on and available for people to come and enjoy just for a couple of brief hours. You know, it goes from 9 in the morning until about noon. The candy grab starts at 10 o'clock in the morning, so we first start with the first group of young ones and do a couple of different launches, if you will, with different age groups taking off on the field. But, you know, we litter the field with all kinds of candy, thanks in large part to Dominic's, who's been supporting us actually for all 10 years of the event.
Wow.
Both financially and obviously with the candy. So they've been a huge supporter of what we do here, particularly with this event, and the tradition continues.
Of course, besides of the candy grab, there's a lot of things going on in the South Courtyard. Let us know what those are.
Yeah, well, we included a festival into the event a number of years ago because it was growing, and we wanted there to be more for people to do. We started out with the event being a Radio Disney show in partnership with Radio Disney, who, of course, they've been with us for all these 10 years as well. And so kids have a great time being entertained by the Radio Disney folks with their road crew, and they come out and give a nice show and give out all kinds of prizes and stuff. But to offer a little bit more for folks, we started including some festival elements, you know, face painting, balloon artists on stilts, in big inflatables that are right inside the South Courtyard. So the kids can burn off a little steam and, you know, get their legs warm before they take off on the field as well. So all of those things have really aided into making it really a family event, one that people enjoy coming to, like I said, the past couple of hours. And you never know. You might bump into a couple of few celebs like, you know, like Staley, the Bears mascot, or the Easter Bunny, if you will, or even some of the characters from the Brookfield Zoo.
Well, that's exciting, and it's great to have young people be able to come out and stand on and run around the field where the course the Chicago Bears play. They wouldn't have that opportunity otherwise, and it's a very unification type of feeling that the city of Chicago and the people that are great citizens of Chicago are able to enjoy.
Kevin, you hit it on the head. I mean, we're talking about the festival, and we're talking about folks coming out, but it goes without saying that I think some of the people with the biggest grins on their faces are the dads. they come out and are in such awe of being on the field and standing on the field. And, you know, we just want to keep them on the sideline, so to speak, so that we make sure that this event is for the kids and the parents don't start trampling you know, down to do their own, touchdown dances, if you will. But it is such a great feeling to be down there. We want everyone to enjoy it. This stadium was built for the people. It wasn't built for, you know, teams and what have you. So we try our best to create events, to host events that draw all walks of life to the stadium to be able to participate and enjoy this great, great stadium that we have in Chicago.
Which is what the Chicago Park District is all about. You know, for a few years ago, I was certainly a member of the staff of the Park District and worked in the beaches and pools and worked in the parks, and gave me that opportunity to, you know, earn a few bucks to go to school and so forth. And a lot of people have been a part of this great a group of people at the Chicago Park District, now run by Michael Kelly, of course, and the great staff. And it's got to be gratifying for you, too, Luca, to see what you see when the kids are out there and the adults are enjoying themselves, to see the enjoyment that you're bringing, the opportunity you're bringing to them.
Isn't that the truth? I mean, it is one of those events that is such a feel-good for us to put on every year. And really see everyone enjoy themselves in a really relaxed atmosphere. There's no pressure to get back to your seat to miss any action. There's no hurry to get to one place or the other. So people really kind of just are able to enjoy themselves with this event, and particularly with the kids to be in what is a pretty big place in their eyes, right? Particularly for a lot of these kids, that it's their first or only opportunity to come to the stadium, and so that gives them a pretty big wow in their heads, and something that they can take home with them.
Well, you'll keep doing it, and we'll keep talking about it as long as we can, and we'll make sure we get the word out.
Well, I appreciate you having me on again, Kevin. It's always great to talk to you and fill people in on what's going on around town.
More than 4,000 adults and children are expected at the annual Spring Egg Extravaganza, the largest free candy grab in Chicago, featuring 2,000 pounds of goodies in the field at Soldier Field Stadium, 1410 South Museum Campus Drive, Saturday, March 23rd. Starts around 9 o'clock, and on the line with us, of course, is our good pal, Luca Serra. Luca, maybe a phone number, website, if people get some information?
Yeah, if people can hit www.soldierfield.net, or you can call us at 312-235-7000. You can get all kinds of information at both places, and looking forward to seeing everybody and everybody down here on March 23rd for the extravaganza.
Well, as always, a pleasure, my pal, and certainly I wish you an early happy Easter, and hopefully that weather will be beautiful for that weekend.
We still got time, Kevin.
Okay, my pal.
Take care.
Take care. Thanks, Luca. Luca Serra, one of the great guys with the Chicago Park District, of course, does a great job in offering up the opportunity to go out in the Soldier Field and have a great fun morning with the kids on the 23rd of March. It starts around 9 o'clock, and really, really enjoy what they're doing out there. So if you want some information, again, as Luca said, go on the website or call 312-235-7000. Get some information from the Park District. You know, a gem that we have in the city of Chicago, 8,100 acres of parkland, 580 parks, 26 miles of lakefront, 10 museums, 2 world-class conservatories, 16 historic lagoons, 10 bird and wildlife gardens, thousands of special events, sports, and entertaining programs. So always something to do at the Park District. For information, as I said, please give them a call, 312-747-2000, and certainly get some more information about what's going on in the Park District in general. It's the 10th annual Spring Egg Extravaganza, Saturday, March 23rd at Soldier Field Stadium, 1410 South Museum Campus Drive. Should be a great morning. In Aurora, there are traditions for everything. The newest is enjoying critically acclaimed smash hit Better Than Broadway musicals in the beautiful 1,800-seat Paramount Theater in the heart of the city's growing downtown business district. The Paramount wraps only the second season of self-produced Broadway musical series, already playing to nearly 20,000 subscribers with the all-time family classic Fiddler on the Roof. Nominated for 10 Tony Awards and winner of 9, Fiddler on the Roof is a musical journey of love, loss, faith, and family, and ultimately, a celebration of life and all its challenges. From the rich orchestrations and a beautiful score to the powerful production numbers and emotionally charged story, Fiddler is a show everyone should experience. Think of the unmistakable image of a fiddler on the roof, a metaphor for balancing life, for survival, and for tradition. set in Tsarist Russia in 1905. This is the story of Tevye, a simple and loving milkman who does everything he can to maintain his family and their religious traditions. With five strong-willed daughters, a loyal yet independent wife, and an ever-changing society, the safety and stability of his old world is disappearing. And on the line with us right now is the businessman, entrepreneur, nationally recognized consultant, and authority in the field of fine arts venues, having been involved with the Metropolis Performing Arts Center, Wheaton Grand Theater, Genesee Theater, and the Highland Park Theater, one of the brightest stars in the world of performing arts and entertainment venues, and the executive director of the historic Paramount Theater, now presenting the musical classic Fiddler on the Roof through March 24th at the Paramount Theater in Aurora, our good pal, Mr. Tim Rader. Tim, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Well, thanks for having me back, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, and congratulations. You got another hit.
Well, thank God. I'm glad it's working out so well.
Show in and show out, and you have to be congratulated, as the entire staff and all the wonderful people and Jim Cordy and your whole team there, starting out with My Fair Lady and Joseph and the Chorus Line and Hair, and now with Grease and Annie and the Music Man, and concluding with Fiddler on the Roof. That's quite a record you got, kiddo.
It seems like we've had hit after hit after hit. And every time, I think it's going to get a little easier, and it's a nail-biter every single time.
You know, Cordy might know what he's doing. I'm not sure if that...
don't tell him that, because we don't want him to know. We don't want him going anywhere, but he does. He absolutely knows what he's doing. He's managing these shows, the artistic processes. You know, it gets the show where it needs to be so we have the success that we've had critically, and the audiences. They love it. They love it. They think people are walking out of Fiddler right now saying, this is the best one yet. And that's how it's been show after show after show. It's been great.
Well, it's amazing how you could have kept that going after My Fair Lady, which is one of the best My Fair Ladies I've ever seen. But you have, Timmy. And that's what's so exciting about this. You know, you have a show here, Fiddler on the Roof, one of the classic musicals of all time, and doing it better than ever. And better than Broadway is true. But now they're going to say, you know, can you do it as well as Paramount?
Wouldn't that be nice? And perhaps that is down the road a few years. That would be nice.
Of course, a great musical inspired by a painting, and the paintings of Marc Chagall, of course, who was a surrealist painter, and he kind of depicted Eastern European Jewish life and fiddlers. And as I said in the introduction, the fiddler was kind of a metaphor for survival through tradition and joyfulness in a life of uncertainty and imbalance, and that's kind of what Tevye's life's all about.
That's right, absolutely.
You know, we have such a great story, of course, and how it all unfolds and evolves, and there's some happy times and some sad times, which is reflective of all our lives in general.
I think everyone can relate to the story of being pulled one way and then tradition and family traditions, especially with marriage issues that are in the public conscience right now. And, you know, it's a very relevant story even today. And it's a story about love and family and how you overcome barriers to societal barriers that may keep you from doing what you ultimately really your heart desires to do.
And I think it's a challenge that all families have now, and it's certainly different than when you and I or Jim Jarvis grew up, and that's tradition. You know, we don't necessarily always go on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening and have dinner with the family. Everybody gathers. It's not like that anymore. So those traditions, it's the responsibility of parents, at least if they can, to kind of continue a modicum of those, because those are the foundation, the basis for family life.
No, that's very true. And that's one of the things that watching this show, it's given me an appreciation for what it used to be like.
Yeah.
Because, you know, having seen it, I mean, things have changed so much. And I think we're missing a little bit of the tradition, just like you said. I think you need a little bit of that, a little bit of history to carry from generation to generation.
Because of the success, Timmy, of these shows one after another, do you get a response from performers who are all eager and enthusiastic and they all want to be part of the shows out of Paramount?
One of the things we found is from the beginning there was a tremendous wealth of talent in Chicago, and it just seems to be getting deeper and wider. We have actors clamoring to be a part of auditions.
Mm-hmm.
We just had some auditions for next year's season, and we had non-equity actors showing up for the equity auditions, trying to slip in before or after and during. And Chicago's rich. It's rich with theater, the number of theaters you can go see theater, the number of people participating in theater, And I think we're blessed. I think we're blessed to have a really supportive community of the musical theater product. And that's something that we've seen here with our booming subscriber base and the single ticket patrons and the support that we've had for these classic musicals. You know, and the actors are no different. There's a lot of actors that really want to be a part of these productions.
What makes this a success or allows its success to continue, and you know better than I, but it would have to be the subscription series where people know and they are assured that when they subscribe, they're going to get three or four shows which are going to be of quality and top entertainment. And that's what you've shown. So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. People say, well, what is it like out in Paramount? Well, it's great, so why don't you just subscribe? And it continues to be great, so people continue to subscribe.
That's exactly right. I mean, when we first announced our series, we picked some shows that we hope people would respond well to as far as wanting to purchase the package of shows. We were correct. We had 12,500 subscribers last year for our first season. We tried to provide those shows at a value, and then we tried to produce them as best we could. And we did. We were successful. The people that subscribed last year, all 12,500 of them, for the most part, not all of them, but about 87% of them renewed their subscription for this year. And then we increased our number of subscribers, and we're at 19,815 subscribers now. And we're almost at that 20,000 mark. And these are people that we had before, people that are telling their friends, and they're coming to expect to see a show which they may not have been clamoring to see. It's not Wicked. It's not Jersey Boys. It's a show that's been around for a while, but they know now that they're going to see a good production of it. Not just a good production, but as good of a production as they probably have ever seen of that show. And guess what? It's an affordable ticket. You can see all four shows for less than $100. I mean, where else can you do that? Nobody.
You couldn't park downtown for that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, parking downtown for four shows, that would be $100 right there.
Sure, right, yeah. Exactly. And not to put down the shows that are downtown, but, you know, for people out in the western suburbs who want to come downtown, they might be able to do it once. You can't do it six times a season or four times a season, but you can go out to Paramount and do it four times a season.
People are making the Paramount a part of their entertainment, regular entertainment options, because it is a great value. They do get a big bang for the buck. And our customer service is fantastic. If people can't make a particular show, we exchange it right over the phone. Come to a different show. Come to a different production, a different performance of the production that we have, and we're not going to charge them for it. It's just part of the family. It's part of what we do when you're a subscriber. So we want that. We want the best shows at the best price with the best customer service.
And you have people coming from out of state also.
We do. Actually, for Annie, we had 42 states attend. People from 42 states. We had over 450 cities. People from over 450 cities come see Annie. We had over 43,000 people come see the show. It was a huge blockbuster hit for us, and that was really fun to see. And we're at a point now with our Broadway season that we know it works, and that we just need to keep our eye on the ball. Don't mess with it too much. Don't, you know, throw the package into a different promotional deal. Keep the pricing the same. Keep our packaging the same. So next year we're going to do the same thing. We're going to buy two shows, get two shows free. The most expensive subscription that you could purchase on a Saturday evening, best seats in the house, is still under $100.
Wow.
$99.80, but it's still under $100.
Sure, right.
You know, and it goes down. It goes down to $73. So between $73 to $99, you get all four shows, and those are for the best seats in the house, not the nosebleed seats. And I think people appreciate that. They're not being gimmicked into buying the last two rows of the balcony. We believe in transparency.
Now, is there any shortcoming, or have you seen any shortcomings in this whole season, last couple seasons? One that sticks out in my mind, and I don't think it's a shortcoming, in as much as it's an opportunity, is that I'd like to see some of them run longer.
Yeah. No, you're right. And one of the things that we are doing this next year is extending the runs by a week. Each of the runs.
That's a good idea.
4 weeks instead of three. We dabbled in it this year. You know, you have to remember that our first season with My Fair Lady, we did 3 weeks, eight shows a week. That's 24 performances. Our traditional run of a Broadway show prior to last season was two or three performances. So we went from two or three performances to 24 performances, and we have an 1,800-seat house. That was a pretty big leap of faith that we would be able to generate a market even for that. And so this season, season two, we took two of our shows. One of them we did an extra week. Greece we did 4 weeks instead of three, and then Annie we did 6 weeks instead of three, and the other two were three. Other two shows were three-week runs, and we found a lot of success, especially in Annie, with that extended run. And we have enough subscribers now that we need to make sure that we have better seats available for those that want to subscribe. And that's why we're extending our runs this next season to 4 weeks. And we have it planned for the next season after that to go to a base of 5 weeks.
Oh,
probably.
Boy. Well, that's great. Yeah. That's great. Now, how do you choose the shows that you're going to put on? Does Jim Cordy go up on a mountain or something to meditate for a couple of weeks, and he just comes up with these great words of wisdom, and these are the shows we're going to do?
Well, I wondered where he went, because he smelled like incense when he got back to the office. I had no idea. So, no,
it was beer. That was an incense.
we were hoping it was incense. We actually spend a lot of time talking about titles, and we try to start with what we think folks will respond to as far as what they want to see, and so then we start there and we find out what is available, because a lot of the titles we may want to do are just not, you know, they're either running on Broadway or they're on a tour, or there's someone else in the Chicago market that's doing it, or there it's embargoed because it's going to be on Broadway, or so many reasons. So we take then what we want to do, what we think other people will respond well to. We find out what is actually something we could actually license and actually produce, and then we take it to our subscribers and say, here's what we're thinking about doing, what do you think? And we do surveys and focus groups, and then we come back and we look at that, and we try to at least initially leave costs out of the picture. We believe that, you know, producing the right show, the show that the audience will respond to, will ultimately be the right decision. So we don't pick small musicals just to save money. We're picking what we think will be responded well to. And that's worked so far.
Worked very well so far. Now, if I can make a suggestion.
Yeah.
Jim Jarvis and Hairspray, I think it's got success written all over it.
Yeah, I think he'd be great at it.
Well, of course, you got a great season coming up, but I don't want to forget, and I know our good pal Jay Kelly wanted me to mention, Dwight Yoakam's coming out on April 10th.
He is, yeah. He's going to be a fantastic concert. He's sold over 25 million albums, got two gold records, and, you know, he's so many Grammys. He's really fantastic, and his music's wonderful, and we just added him. He's on April 10th, and it's going to be a fantastic show.
And, of course, you have other shows during the year also. Herman's Hermits with Peter Noon, and the Ides of March are coming. Stop is going to be there. The Bee Gees show is going to be there. American Idol winner Scott McCurry is coming up.
Yep, that's right. Yep, and he sold out. He went really quick. He's March 28th, and he's, season 11, 2 years ago, he won American Idol. He's the country singer, and just, he's very popular with the younger females.
Well, I'm going to briefly mention, of course, I'm going to have a reason, of course, that we're going to chat in a few months about what the next season is going to bring, but it's very exciting. The press release just came out. I'll let you tell about the four shows that are coming up.
Yeah, we actually just announced this, so we're just getting into the next season, the hoopla with folks finding out about it, which is, it's a lot of fun, because the initial reaction to next year's season has been very, very positive. We're starting with a family musical. It's the Chicago professional debut of In the Heights. Mm-hmm. That's our very first show next year. It's a show that really I couldn't be more fond of. I saw it when it was on tour. It's the one musical that I actually sit at my desk and listen to show tunes every once in a while. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful music. Mm-hmm. And it won four Tony Awards. It was nominated for 13. A lot of folks don't know In the Heights, but it's one that is for families. It's it's a feel-good family drama that people are going to really respond well to, and that's where we're kicking off. It's a new title. It's not been in the market all that long.
Right,
we're really
right.
excited about doing that, and then we move into Miss Saigon, which everybody, you know, is really excited about that. And just the weight of the sheer magnitude of that production is going to be something that we're going to endeavor on, and it's going to be, I think, epic to produce that particular show. And Jim Cordy is going to be directing that one.
Sure.
And then we move into 42nd Street with Rachel Rockwell, the same director as Annie and Music Man, huge blown out Broadway spectacular 42nd Street. It's going to be very, very big, a lot of fun, flashy. And then we move into a little more of an edgy piece with Rent. And Jim's going to be directing that again. It's going to be really a wonderful production.
Seasons of Love, one of the great songs, one of the great love songs in modern theater. I always enjoyed it a lot. And that will be something different, kind of cutting edge for the western suburbs. I think people are going to really like it because it's another thing that Jim Cordy's going to be directing.
That's right, yes.
Another exciting season. Very much looking forward to it. We're going to come back and chat about that because we want to make sure we get the word out. The Paramount Theater is a center for performing arts, entertainment, and arts education in Aurora, the second largest city in Illinois, named one of Chicago's top 10 attended theaters by the League of Chicago Theaters. The 1,800-seat Paramount Theater, located in the heart of downtown Aurora at 23 East Galena Boulevard, is nationally renowned for the quality and caliber of its presentations, superb acoustics, and historic beauty. Fiddler on the Roof, it's going to be there till March 24th. Of course, one of the great classics of all time in the American repertoire of music. For a phone number, website, if people like to get some information, Timmy?
Yeah, ParamountAurora.com, and then phone number 630-896-6666.
Always a pleasure, my pal, and I will congratulate you and your staff and everyone on the great success that Paramount has had. Please give our best to our good pal, Jim Jarvis, and we'll continue to get the word out for you.
Great. Thanks, Kevin, so much for having me on.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Timmy. Tim Rader, one of the great guys in Chicago theater, and doing just remarkable things with Jim Cordy, as I said, and his staff out at Paramount. A great season this year with Grease and Annie, and now with Fiddler on the Roof and The Music Man, and last year, of course, when we started out with My Fair Lady and Joseph and A Chorus Line and Hair. And next year, it's going to be even more exciting with In the Heights, Miss Saigon, 42nd Street, and winding up with Rent. So for information, again, 630-896-6666, the Paramount Theater. Giordano Dance Chicago premieres La Belleza de Cuba, a new work by choreographer to the stars Liz Imperio in their 50th anniversary engagement at the Harris Theater, 205 East Randolph, March 21st through the 23rd at 7:30. Given the success of Giordano Dance Chicago's 2012 engagements, the March 2013 engagement has been expanded to include three performances. Few dance companies have the incredible opportunity to celebrate their golden anniversary, so in putting together the lineup for this engagement, we selected works that honor our history, reflect where we are today, anticipate our exciting future ahead, and celebrate the enduring support of friends, dancers, staff, patrons, and the audience members who have made it all possible, says Giordano Dance Chicago Artistic Director Nan Giordano, who marks her 20th anniversary as GDC Artistic Director this year. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning businessman and advocate for Chicago's performing arts community, professional dancer, musician, arts administrator, dance educator, board member and arts patron, Peace Corps volunteer, degree geologist, entrepreneur, marketing professional, a person sincerely dedicated in sharing his love for the arts with others, and the executive director of Giordano Dance Chicago, now presenting their 50th anniversary engagement at the Harris Theater for Music and Dance, 205 East Randolph, March 21st through the 23rd, our good friend, Mr. Michael McStraw. Michael, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Well, thanks, Kevin. Boy, that's quite an introduction. Thank you so much.
Very well earned, and certainly congratulations. 50 years, that's...
Isn't that a remarkable milestone?
That's remarkable. It really is.
We are riding high this year.
Oh, boy.
From the beginning of the year when we began our season in Pittsburgh as the host company of Jazz Dance World Congress in partnership with Point Park University, all the way through today where we are anticipating our 50th anniversary season productions here in Chicago. Quite a ride.
Well, I would say that if Mr. Giordano were here, he'd be proud. But he's here, and he's very proud. He's watching over everybody.
Do you know what? His spirit truly
absolutely
is this organization in everything we do. And what he set in motion 50 years ago, we continue to live. So you're absolutely right. He is with us.
That legacy continues. It's going to be a great show. And starting with three, of course, programs, Giordano Moves by Mr. Giordano.
Yes, Giordano Moves is a wonderful piece, Kevin, in that it is movement from pieces that Gus had choreographed over the years. And Nan Giordano and John Lair, a former company member, had taken those pieces and put it together into its own work. And it really celebrates all that Mr. Giordano brought to the table as choreographer, as technique god, as entrepreneur, everything that he brought to the table is in this piece. And it boasts an original score by local musician George McRae, and it really sets the mood for the performances. It, it starts off showing where we came from.
And, of course, Autumn Eckman's production of G-Force. Of course, she's an artistic associate, been involved with Giordano Dance Chicago for many years.
She has. This is the seventh work that Autumn has choreographed for us. And it, in contrast to Giordano Moves behind it, G-Force is now, it is right of the moment. And it really, one person had said it's like watching a science experiment on the stage. It's molecules bouncing off of one another or planetary motion, because the name G-Force comes from the physics term, which talks about the force of acceleration on a body in movement, in motion.
I'm not sure if that's true, because I think it might be Giordano Force is what I mean.
Well, we did think it's funny that we had Giordano Moves than G-Force. We wondered if people would make that bridge.
You know, and what you do and what Giordano Dance Chicago does so well, it is a kind of a force of nature when you're dancing. Sometimes you wonder, how do they do that?
You know, how do they do that? Known worldwide for their athleticism, their elegance, their power, and their presence as performers. We were just at the Dance for Life Palm Springs event in Palm Springs this past weekend, and we opened and closed the show representing Chicago as the only Chicago dance company.
Wow, congratulations.
And we really proved that to be a hallmark of this organization, that our dancers are known for their interplay, their energy, their presence as individuals and as a group. It's truly a hallmark of this organization, our power, elegance, and athleticism.
And this is kind of exciting. A woman who is a choreographer, some great stars like Jennifer Lopez and Cher and Gloria Estefan and Madonna, using Latin and Afro-Cuban and jazz and contemporary choreography, Liz Imperio with La Belleza de Cuba.
It's a wonderful piece. Liz has come to us over the years. She had met up with Mr. Giordano years ago in a teaching environment. And he said, in essence, I've got my eye on you, you're going to do great things. And they became fast friends. And La Belleza de Cuba is actually the second work that she's choreographed for us. And she bridges the commercial world into the concert world. And so there is wonderful power and presence in this piece. It's for all 10 dancers. And it ties into Liz's love of Gus Giordano, and Liz's love of her Cuban-American heritage.
That'll get the audience excited. That'll get the audience excited,
Do you know, Kevin, I have seen this work as it's being created and now that it's being rehearsed to bring to the stage. And every time I see it, I get chilled. It's one of the most beautiful, powerful things you will ever see.
And from a performer from Hubbard Street, Ron DeJesus, Pray. Mm-hmm.
Pray is on the program because, now, first and foremost, it's one of the most exquisite works in our rep. It's powerful, it's engaging, it takes your breath away. But also, it was a turning point for the organization. When Pray was brought in, it really was the start of the influence that Nan has had as artistic director to begin bringing the presence of our choreographers and our rep to a higher level. And so Prey represents a turning point in the company's production of its artistic product.
And what's interesting there, too, Michael, is the Kodo drummers of Japan are part of this program, which you see them pounding on those drums, and they really get a beat going, and everyone gets involved in this kind of a... And I think Ron was involved in Moving Out, though, wasn't he, the Twyla Tharpe show?
That's true. Right. And he's now at the University of Michigan teaching in their theater department. But yes, this work, his work, Prey, is just exciting beyond belief, and that drumming certainly helps make that happen.
We had Sherry Zunker on the show a couple weeks ago, and we were chatting with her health and fitness programs and so forth, mm-hmm. and of course she was a former dancer with Giordano Dance Chicago, and she's kind of bequeathed one of her shows, The Man That Got Away, which I enjoy because you have the music of course, George Gershwin and Harold Arlen, and singing, of course, by Judy Garland, which is part of this performance, which is always very exciting.
It's very exciting. It's a piece that I've actually had the pleasure of performing in myself.
Oh, really?
It's a great fun, and Sherry was very generous in gifting this work to us to be utilized in our rep. And one of our dancers Megan McHale performs it with enough energy to light up a nuclear reactor. So, it's pretty cool.
At least, right?
Yeah.
And finally, Randy Duncan's Can't Take This Away.
what a beautiful work to close our program with. Randy is well regarded in the dance community around the world, but specifically in Chicago, for the power and majesty of what he brings to the stage. And this piece is such a celebration. And you can see from the lineup of choreographers that we have that it's the past, the present, the future, people who have touched our lives or signified something different for the organization. This is what Nan did in programming this 50th anniversary season, finding those pieces that have some form of a very intimate connection with the organization.
Michael, you bring up a good point, and just chat briefly about it. We know what the past is. We've enjoyed it. And in this program, in the present here, we're enjoying some of that past.
Mm-hmm.
Where will the future of Giordano Dance Chicago go as much as we can anticipate, or where will the future of dance be years from now?
Well, I'm not going to tackle the future of dance one, because the dance continues to evolve and morph. And in fact, it was Gus Giordano who said that jazz dance is a living art form, and it continually strives to be something different. So who knows what it will be in another 50 years? Can't even predict that one. But as far as the organization, Giordano Dance Chicago, we intend to continue to bring valuable, powerful pieces to the stage. We're looking at different collaborations that we want to do with different Chicago organizations, specifically in live music. We are looking to continue our presence in the Chicago Public Schools. We have this incredible program called Jazz Dance Science and Health in three underserved schools that teaches fourth and seventh grade science curriculum through a dance-centric program. And we're going to continue to tour worldwide. So that's you're going to expect more of that from us in the next years.
I remember, if my memory serves me correct, there was a Alvin Ailey dancer who created a piece called Pyrokinesis, and that was the ability to set objects on fire or something like that. And basically, you know, well, it's like more Jim Morrison's old song, Come On Baby, Light My Fire.
It's true.
And that's what you do. The audience is set on fire when they're watching what you do.
That piece that you referenced was choreographed by Christopher Huggins, who had been an Ailey dancer, mm-hmm. choreographer. And we continue to use that work. In fact, that was one of the pieces that we performed on stage at the Annenberg Theater in Palm Springs as part of Dance for Life Palm Springs. It still lights up the stage.
And using an old quotation, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And I think reflective of what Nan and yourself and the great staff at Giordano and the performers do is to bring the dance to the community, to community outreach, to young people, to high schools and so forth. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, Kevin, part of our mission is to expand the art form of American jazz dance. But the other part is to enrich as many lives as possible in doing so. And that's where our commitment to underserved populations in the city of Chicago really come to play. Not only do we do this program, Jazz Dance Science and Health, in area schools, but then to help the children who participate in that program understand the art form of dance more, we also bring them and their families to the Harris Theater as our guests so that they can see their teachers up on stage performing. And it helps to complete the loop, the informational loop, between what happens in their classroom, learning about their bodies, learning some dance steps, and then taking it all the way to a professional performance on stage. So that commitment is it's one of the things I talked earlier about Mr. Giordano and the legacy that he brought to the table. That's one of the things that helps that legacy move forward.
That's perfectly true. And the legacy of those young people watching their teachers on stage saying to themselves, someday I'd like to do that. And they will, Michael.
They will.
And
they will. Absolutely will.
Yeah. Well, you know, as long as Ann Fink, our good friend, can get the word out to us, we're going to get the word out to our listeners about what the great things Giordano's Jazz Dance is doing. Giordano Dance Chicago is a world-class jazz dance company and a driving force in Chicago's thriving performing arts community. Founded by Gus Giordano and currently under the leadership of Artistic Director Nan Giordano, the company's new works continually expand the boundaries of jazz dance. The company is dedicated to developing, performing, and enhancing awareness of jazz dance, a true American art form. In addition to its concert performances, Giordano Dance Chicago builds future dance and arts audiences through its outreach and education program in Chicago Metro Metropolitan Area Schools, the Chicago Park District, and college campuses. Giordano Dance Chicago premieres La Baeza de Cuba, a new work by choreographer to the stars Liz Imperio, in their 50th anniversary engagement at the Harris Theater, 205 East Randolph. March 21st through the 23rd at 7:30. Given the success of Giordano Dance Chicago's 2012 engagements, the March 2013 engagement has been expanded to include three performances. And on the line with us right now is the executive director of Giordano Dance Chicago, our good friend Michael McStraw. Michael, maybe a phone number or website if people would like to get some information?
Sure. The Harris Theater box office is 312-334-7777. They can also go to Giordano's website, which is www.giordanodance.org, G-I-O-R-D-A-N-O.
Michael, it's always a delight to chat with you. It's a stimulating, engaging conversation we have about ballet. I very much enjoy it. And I congratulate you, and please give our best to Nan on the 50th anniversary at the Harris Theater for Music and Dance, 205 East Randolph, March 21st to 23rd, Giordano Dance Chicago.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Always a pleasure.
God bless you, Michael. Thank you. Michael McStraw, of course, the executive director of Giordano Dance Chicago. Great guy and doing wonderful things. Very exciting program. G-Force by Autumn Eckman, of course, and The Man That Got Away. We talked with Sherry Zunker a couple weeks ago, and she bequeathed that program to Giordano Dance Chicago, music of George Gershwin, lyrics by Harold Arlen, and sung by Judy Garland. Should be a lot of fun, but a great evening in the theater, March 21st to the 23rd at Harris Theater for Music and Dance. So maybe we'll end with an Irish friendship wish and maybe an Irish blessing. May there always be work for your hands to do. May your purse always hold a coin or two. May the sun always shine on your window pane. May a rainbow be certain to follow each rain. May the hand of a friend always be near you. May God fill your heart with gladness to cheer you. Work like you don't need the money. Love like you've never been hurt. Dance like nobody's watching. Sing like nobody's listening. Live like it's heaven on earth. And finally, for all our listeners, an Irish blessing. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. Especially, I thank our good pal Lucas Serra over at the Chicago Park District and Soldier Field. The 10th Annual Egg Extravaganza on Saturday, March 23rd, starting at 9 a.m. at Soldier Field. For information, 312-235-7000. Timmy Rader, the executive director of the historic Paramount Theater, now presenting the musical classic Fiddler on the Roof through March 24th at the Paramount Theater in Aurora. For information, 630-896-6666. And again, congratulations to Michael McStraw, the executive director of Giordano Dance Chicago, and Nan Giordano for their 50th anniversary engagement at the Harris Theater for Music and Dance, 205 East Randolph, March 21st through the 23rd. For information, 312-334-7777. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought every day at least to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week, and as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. Have a great St. Patrick's Day.
And if we know we're always changing, why should it be the same? And tell me how, year after year, you're sure your heart will fall apart. It's time you hear her name. I know the way I feel for you. It's now or never. The more I love, the more that I'm afraid. In your eyes I may not see forever. Forever. If
be the best of friends. If we can try with every day to make it better as it grows, then a luck, then I suppose.